Why are you afraid? Have you still no faith? Okay, so this is not meant to be a criticism, but an observation. But what is up with these disciples? They've been traipsing around the countryside with Jesus, having been called from the sea, and mostly seafaring men, they've dropped their nets and have embraced life on the land. They've heard many parables, and they've seen miracles while in his company. They have left behind all that they know in order to follow this man. But throughout the Gospel of Mark, they continually wonder about the identity of this person. In Mark, we see references to, "And they were amazed," but they were confused. Jesus said that as insiders, they were given the secret of the kingdom of God, but that for those outside, everything comes in parables, in order that they may indeed look, but not perceive, and may indeed listen, but not understand. Yet they still don't seem to understand the parables, despite having the Cliff's Notes, also known as the Jesus Notes. Jesus, this guy who has been doing all of these things in their presence, is asleep as the storm whips up, flooding their boat. They cry out, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" Okay, now this is a criticism. But how did these burly seafaring men turn into such timid landlubbers? I find it weird that these fishermen were afraid of a storm at sea. I mean, hadn't they come from this world? But just maybe that is the point. They know of the destructive power of the sea. They probably had lost many people to its wrath. And as Jewish men, they identified storms at sea as many different things. Storm as God's agent of judgment. Storm as God's enemy. Think of a big mean Loch Ness monster. And storm as evil spirit. And maybe they thought they were being punished for following this new guy, who already was ruffling the feathers of the religious establishment, because storms sometimes warn of God's approach. And remember what God did to the earth in the flood. That was total chaos. But he was their teacher. And even though they weren't quite aware of why, they knew that they could depend on him. So they turned to him for help, especially since they were not capable of helping themselves, or at least they thought. They woke him up, and Jesus does not disappoint. He rebuked the wind and he calmed the sea, asserting his superiority over both. And they are filled with great awe and say to one another, "Who then is this that even wind and the sea obey him?" In Mark, these guys, the disciples, often remind me of Monty Python. And they remind me of myself. We easily can become battle-weary. We can lose sight of the miracles around us. Do you notice that Jesus doesn't say that there is nothing of which to be afraid? It's not as though he says, "Oh, don't worry, guys, sea monsters don't exist." But instead, he says, "Why are you afraid? Have you still no faith?" With his response, he acknowledges that there are things in the world that can scare us when we believe we are alone. In this world, we do find pride, greed, lust, envy, gluttony, wrath, and sloth. And yes, those are the seven deadly sins because they're the most easily referenced. But we must not fear those things. When we find ourselves accompanied by God, even if we think God is asleep, God is awake, and watchful. God is at our side. When we are in relationship with God, we know we have the means to create a world in which we do not fall prey to these dangerous forces, but rather become forces for good. God will give us the courage to turn toward the side of right. God will give us the courage to endure all things. What these guys didn't know, that it was God in their boat. No fear. No fear. Do you remember what it was like to be a teenager? So anyone who's preteen or teenager, don't do the things I'm just about to tell you I did, okay? I was a pretty cautious kid, but looking back, I realized that I took a lot of unnecessary chances. I hitchhiked home very late at night when a friend's car broke down. When my mom chastised me with great fear, I responded by saying, "Well, there were four of us, and he told us his name." Mr. Brunt, by the way. There were too many times I got into a car with someone who had no business driving. And it was not mandatory to wear a seatbelt until the year I graduated from college in 1983. If only they had required seatbelts before 1983, I am reminded of the time that my college classmates and I decided to play musical chairs at a stoplight in South Bend, Indiana, when we were young freshmen. How funny we thought we were to jump out of the car and run around, jumping back into the car as the light changed. How really funny it was that no one had noticed the police car right behind us until he turned on his deck lights and siren to pull us over once we were past the light. No fear. Do you remember what that was like? There was a certain sense of abandon that we were able to enjoy because we weren't carrying the weight of the world on our shoulders. We weren't worried about how we have done or how we will do. And yes, now we know that our prefrontal lobes of our brains weren't quite yet developed, and you can attribute a lot to that, I suppose. But let's face it, when we were that age, we felt somewhat immortal, and boy, did that feel good. We had no fear, because we had faith in our own immortality. Again, think for a moment of what that feeling was like. Let it wash over you. Do you remember that sense of freedom and how it felt to know that the world was ours for the taking, that anything and everything was possible, and that our whole lives were stretching out before us? Resurrect that feeling. That is what unabashed faith in God is like. No fear. I had the choice of the Old Testament readings today, and I love this story of David and Goliath, despite its length. It is a remarkable tale of abandon, and yes, there's a little bit of reckless abandon going on here with David, but it's joyful abandon. Today I defy the ranks of Israel. Give me a man that we may fight together. It is with these words that Goliath stirs emotions in the Israelites gathered. The men, including King Saul, were dismayed and greatly afraid. On the other hand, David, the young shepherd, is compelled to act because in his defiance of the armies, Goliath has defied the living God. The one in whom David has great faith, the one who has cared for him. David said, "The Lord who saved me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear will save me from the hand of the Philistine." So Saul said to David, "Go, and may the Lord be with you." But David already knew that the Lord was with him, hence his joyful abandon. And notice, he doesn't try to present himself as something or someone he is not. He does not need the armor He does not need the shield. He does not need the weapon. In fact, those things weigh him down, maybe even drag him down. He doesn't want to pretend that he is something other than he is. He was fearless because he believed in God, and he knew that as God believed in him, as he had been wonderfully made. He was fearless because he had right on his side, despite the fact that the Philistines had might on their side. He was fearless because he was filled with joy for the love of his Creator. He was fearless because he had faith. For when Samuel anointed him, the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon David from that day forward. He was filled with faith and had no fear. No fear. Today, on June 24th, we celebrate the Nativity of John the Baptist. One of my favorite gospel passages is the one in which Mary greets her cousin Elizabeth, both of whom are pregnant. Upon this greeting, John, whom she carries, leaps in her womb, for he has met his Savior and he is filled with the Spirit. John's life was a fearless one. He always was willing to speak truth to power, especially when the power was abusing the people. From the moment he met his Savior, he lived a life of courage, doing all he could to bring the kingdom of heaven to earth. No fear. Yes. Those scary things that go bump in the night do exist. And many of us live with those scary things that go bump in the night. And we see the scary things that go bump in the night on the news every single day. And there are times when we have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. Maybe that's because of fear. But God exists in this world too. And love is the most powerful force. And miracles are fueled by love. When we take the time to notice, miracles abound around us. And when we notice the miracles, we open ourselves to faith in the unseen because of what we can see. And just as flowers open in the springtime, perhaps the miracles we see can open us up to love and to faith. And yes, when we have no fear, we have faith. Amen.